The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Beth Moore and Living for Giving.
We've already in our last series been talking about offenses. We're not talking about offenses here. We're talking about something deeper than that. We're talking about the kind of offense that devastates. I have lived it. I know this is true because it has been my personal experience. That's why the Word of God says, you forgive.
Forgiving no matter what the situation. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. It's Wednesdays with Beth, and I always look forward to that. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And I just, I love for Betty to open the program. That way she for sure says something,
that's
you know,
right.
Because it's a, you never won.
I've
you
done
never
my
know.
Part now. You go.
I watch you, you know, when we get, when she's going to do the open, I'm watching to see if she really is.
And you never know, do you?
No, I appreciate it. I thank you. We are so glad we get to share this time with you. And by the way, thank you for your encouragement. Many of you have been so kind and so gracious to let Betty and me know that you like us. Some of you even say, well, hey, we love you, and we love what we get to do together because we get to help people all over the world. As a matter of fact, we're going to show you how you can literally not only change someone's life with the love of God, but save their life because of the love of God. And I don't think you want to miss that. But Beth is going to talk about living for giving. And I need to make this real clear. I think Jesus made it very, very clear because he said, if you don't forgive, you're going to be turned over to tormentors. In other words, you'll be tormented. So if you want to live, you forgive. Because if you're not forgiving, you're at best existing. You're not really living. Let's listen to Beth Moore teach us.
I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to say to you, as we're turning to these verses, that we are turning to this portion of Scripture, having talked about all the things we have. Homicides, crimes, abuses, betrayals, rejections, maybe abandonment. There's just, unfortunately, no end to the list. So I'm telling you that I come to you with the courage, with some fear and trepidation, but with the courage to tell you that these verses still fit, and I say this to you with just trembling in my soul, these verses still fit in every single one of those categories. We've already in our last series been talking about offenses. We're not talking about offenses here. We're talking about something deeper than that. We're talking about the kind of offense that devastates. And I want you to see these verses out of Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 9 through 15, very, very familiar passages. It says, "This then," this is Christ talking to his disciples, "this then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the most common prayer of the church, and rightly it should be. But let me tell you what we're risking anytime we've got this kind of familiarity, that we could just say something by rote and not get what it's saying. And what it's about to say is huge. It says in verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." Meet my daily needs. Not tomorrow's need today, but today's need today. And it says in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts," and it's the same word we often find for sins, "as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." That is rough. "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Listen, in the kind of context we're talking about today, this almost seems cruel. We'd have guts enough to bring up this passage in terms of what we've just been talking about. But listen, either it's going to speak a word to us or it's not true. The fact that it's laying there on the page of Scripture, God breathed, tells us that it's truth. And I don't know about you, but I need to know what this means, because that bothers me. Would anybody else have guts enough to say that? After what some of us have been through, I'm going to tell you something. That bothers me. And what I need you to know is it is not negating. Somebody needs to stay with me here. Let's have a doctrinal moment here. It's not negating the power of the cross. All of our sins, past, present, and future, went to the cross of Christ with Him. They've all been nailed to the cross, and He has dealt with every single one of them. All of them are forgiven when we place our trust in Him as our personal Savior. So it's not negating any of that. But what we're going to learn is that the word that's being used for forgiveness here, part of it means, I don't want to give away too much of it now because we're going to move toward it a little bit later in our series, but part of it means to hold on to something. And what God is saying to us, He's using the same terminology back. He said, I'm going to tell you what, it is so important to me to force the issue of forgiveness that what I'm going to tell you is this. As long as you're hanging on to that, I'm going to hang on to this. In other words, that's still an issue for you. Well, this is still an issue for me. So I'm not going to release you out from under that until you release that person out from under that. Why? So I can coax you into making a very important move. Is that making sense to anybody? Doesn't mean that it wasn't paid for on the cross of Christ. It means He's going to hang on to it. He's going to hang on to it. It will remain an issue as long as the other remains an issue. How many lessons on forgiveness, if you've been in Christian circles for long, how many have you heard? How many have you heard? Have we done it? Sometimes do we even dread the pastor bringing it up because we think, not that again. And the reason why we think not that again is because, you know what? I'm not going to. I shouldn't have to. And if you had any idea what I've been through, you know, what am I saying? Each heart has its own bitterness. You don't have any idea. You're not me going through that. I don't have to. I don't want to hear it. Very reason why some people don't go to church. You know, what we've got to understand, if we're going to forgive, there are a couple of things we have got to get through our heads. And the first one is this. We have got to understand that forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness is for us. You never even have to wonder if you have a stronghold or area of captivity, if you've got unforgiveness in your life. I promise you, you flat do. It is itself a stronghold. Now, let's remember together what a stronghold is. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, as it begins to describe a stronghold, it talks about any exalted thought process. All it takes to qualify as a stronghold is that I become mentally hung up with it, where I play, replay, 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 over and over and over and over again, that it is a hang-up to me. That's all it takes. Unforgiveness is a hang-up every single time. It has become an obsessive way of thinking, an exalted way of thinking, and we need freedom from it. When God pushes the envelope and says, I tell you what, I'm going to put you in the position where you have got to consider forgiving. And I'm willing to do the hard thing to get you to meet me on this page. I believe that's exactly what God is telling us. It is for us. Now, listen, I saw something this time that I have never grabbed onto before. I love that about the study of Scripture. Stare back on your page in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to notice something. Verse 12 is about forgiveness. Verse 13 says these words. I've prayed these words for my family so many times. So I can't tell you, and I've named them, starting with my husband, all the way down through my daughters, my son-in-law, myself. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. But pick up on verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And whoa, 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 whoa. It was the first time I realized that verse that I say continually, and it really is a word that means do not abandon me to temptation. Just let me be overtaken by it. Not that He appoints us to it, but don't let me be overtaken by it. Now, listen carefully. It was the first time it occurred to me. It is sandwiched between two verses and two segments on forgiveness. What does that mean? I mean, when they're sandwiched between and it's just one, it's in context. Somebody say it's in context.
It's in context.
It's in context. I want to go back and look at that. Now, remember, what's our first point? What have we got to understand? I want you to say it out loud to me. We got to understand that forgiveness is what? It's for us. It's for us. All right. How can you tell it in this particular context? It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want you to camp on that lead us not into temptation. Because here's what I got to tell you. This is a fresh word to me. I don't know. You might have heard it just yesterday from somebody else, but this is totally fresh to me. There is nothing that has the capacity to lead us into greater temptation than unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Listen, when we think we're unforgiven, or when we won't forgive. Either one of those will catapult us into a life of severe temptation. Things like anger and entitlement. Something devastating can happen to us. We can have a spouse betray us and leave us for someone else. And we can get an idea of entitlement in our souls that just says, you know, I can sleep with who I want to. I can do anything I want to. I mean, my kids are going to have to deal with it. I got needs here. You hear what I'm talking about? We've been wrong, so how are we going to react to it? Every time we've been wrong, we are set up with a greater capacity to fall to temptation. Is that making sense to anybody? That entitlement. I get this. I get to do this after all I've been through. Get entitled to be mean. We can go through a hardship and just think, you know, people are going to have to deal with it. It's just how I am after what I've been through. I'd like to see them do it. See what I'm talking about? Anger, all these deep kinds of hurts. When an offense has come to us of a devastating matter, we will never be led more strongly into temptation than when we refuse to forgive somebody. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I have lived the truth of these passages. So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to protect our minds and to just show us truth. Look at the words of Christ. It says that he was asked by his disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I want to read verses 2 through, I believe I'll go to 6. He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth. So he's telling us the truth. Somebody say he tells us the truth. I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, so he's got a child standing there that we already know must love him to be comfortable standing there in his presence while he talks. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That is rough. And let me say to somebody before they think something that is not true, God's forgiveness extends to all no matter what. There's somebody listening today that's been on the other side of this situation and has abused. And I want you to know God's grace as freely flows to you as it flows to any victim. All right, let me back up to something that I want you to see. Here's what I wanted to tread lightly on. Notice that it says, in verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, dude, I can tell you exactly what that means because I have experienced it. I told you I have no idea the first time I was abused, no idea, but I will tell you this. When I began to grow up in all the dysfunction that I did, and I carried all of that with me, is anybody relating to what I'm saying? Until I dealt with it openly before God and began to work with Him through forgiveness, all in the world it did was cause me to sin. Now, here's the thing. When I came to repent of it and when I began to see how much I had reacted in my own sin, I cannot tell you how much capacity you have for all manner of sexual dysfunction when you have had the kind of background that I have. Doesn't make it my perpetrator's sin. My sin is my sin. He cannot repent for me. But I will tell you this, because of some of the hurts that happened to me, it made it a whole lot easier to take some of the paths that I did. Some of the self-destructive paths that I did. It's not an excuse, it's just a reality. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because things can happen to you that can set you up for an overwhelming capacity to sin. Is that fair? I know that's hard, but is that fair? It's exactly what the Word of God's saying. I have lived it. I know this is true because it has been my personal experience. That's why the Word of God says, you forgive in the context of lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, because I'm going to tell you, if I don't deal with it, not only am I going to be led into temptation, I am going to go barreling into a pit of sin. And then it's no longer that I was only a victim. Then I begin whole-scale stupidity. Can anybody but me go to that place? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It says then, glancing back at Matthew chapter 6, it says then, not only lead us not to temptation, but in that same context, sandwiched in between two portions of that prayer, talking about how we must forgive others, it also says lead us not to temptation, but deliver us what? Deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. Listen, nothing has a greater capacity to hold us captive to the enemy than unforgiveness. Listen, that is his job. He has no greater agenda than that. So we are automatically in his grip, not infiltrated by him. If we're in Christ, we are sealed under the day of our redemption. We're told that two different times in the book of Ephesians, but he can play havoc in our lives. I want you to hear, you just sit tight, but I'm going to read you a couple of verses out of 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul says, and what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Let me tell you, that has really spoken to me, and it's something we're going to get into in a moment. But when I began to see that I could forgive in the sight of Christ, so it'd be something I could lay out before him on the altar in the sight of Christ, and for the sake not only of myself, but the people that I live around, that my bitterness affects. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that make sure no one misses the grace of God by which many are defiled, and I'm paraphrasing that. But let me tell you something, our bitterness is a gift that just keeps on giving. We will never keep bitterness to ourselves. That means we'll never keep unforgiveness to ourselves. It will have an impact on others. But what it goes on to say is this. This is what's so profound. It goes on to say, we've got to forgive in the sight of Christ for your sake in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Every time we refuse to forgive, Satan will outwit us and he will have a scheme. There's something that he's after, and unforgiveness is the path he takes to get us where he wants us.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
You know, when Paul complimented the Corinthian church because they had forgiven someone who had actually really stepped over the line. And he made it clear that we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes, because once he gets us in that place, his scheme then is to take us captive, and he will when we get into unforgiveness. Betty, I want to share with our viewers something that every time you and I reflect on it and see it, it moves us, because, you know, we have 11 grandchildren. And 9 of them are teenagers. One is out of the teens, on the upper end of teens, in her 20s. The other one's not quite a teen. But our oldest grandson won a national championship in hockey with his team as the goalie. And rather than going into the pros or even going off to play on a college scholarship, he went to the mission field. I want you to hear, I really believe, God's heart in that teenage grandson, in his prayer. Listen to him and watch.
Father God, I come to you right now. And I ask you to perform a miracle in this child, God. Please stop its suffering, Jesus. God, I ask you to put your hand on this child and heal him.
Lord Jesus, you've made this child. You gave this child life. We ask that you will touch this body. Lord, give it the nutrition that it needs.
We pray for a miracle for her, Lord. She needs food, but she needs your miraculous touch too, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I just ask you to let the food we give him be a nourishment to his body and quickly restore him in Jesus' name.
I pray from the bottom of my heart that you would raise them up as a great shining light in a country so desperately in need. God bless them. Bless this hospital. Bless these nurses. And God bless these boys. Raise them up in Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray that you would move in this village and that you would move through us, God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that you are the God who knows. You are the God who heals. And you are the God who provides. Use us, Lord, as your instruments. Use us as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
You heard the prayers of our grandson. You heard Beth Moore. You heard Billy Graham's daughter, Ruth, praying. Our grandson's prayer for a child they thought would not live another day or two was saved. We actually have a picture of that little boy saved because somebody like you said, I'll get food for that child and others. All of the others, we don't know. We have seen miracles happen. We've seen the lives saved. It's not like we're looking for a cure. We know what it is. It's just food. It's nourishment. And that's why we have the mission feeding emphasis. And right now, we're in the last week, Betty. This is we need a miracle. We feel the impact of people who feel financial strain. We know there's a world food crisis and shortage in many areas. And we sense that and we feel it. And right now, I can tell you in the last days, right now, this last week, we need a miracle response. We need the greatest response we have ever experienced in our mission feeding. $30, $50, $100. We can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. If you would help us, and by the way, don't think that $30 gift is meager and not important. How important it is for 3 children. But we need to hear from you. Would you put your arms around 3 children? Our 5 children, and let me tell you this, I'll always ask you to help as many as you can. If you could help 10 children, do it. But if it's 3, please do it. Would you make that call? Please do it right now. Go to the phone, get your bank card. Use it like a check or write a check. Make it to Life, because that's precisely what you're giving. Lifetoday.org if you want to make the gift online. Many people are doing that now, and we thank you for that. But if you write a check and plan to mail it, please do it. Mail it today. But call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Because we need to hear from you this last week. We have some very special gifts for you to bless you as you help us share life. We want to bless your life as you help us give life to others. Thank you so much for making that call. Thanks for the gift.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than 2 decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online.
Sitting here listening to the crying of hungry children, children suffering from malnutrition, I can't help but hope and dream for the day where not one child suffers, where not one child goes hungry, where not one child dies of malnutrition. Please help me make that dream come true. Help me make that dream come true, not just for you and I, but more importantly, for this mother, for her child, and for the thousands of mothers and children that she represents. Because in the time I've been talking to you, more than two children like this have died as a result of malnutrition. The dying continues. The pain continues. The suffering continues. And it's only you and I that can bring an end to it. It's only our action that can ensure that not one suffers, not one goes hungry, and not one dies of malnutrition. Please, open your hearts today. You dial that number on your screen, or you get online, and you make an action of life today. You give a gift of life. You give the gift of food, because mission feeding truly saves lives.
Please, Father, I pray every person watching will make a gift today to help save lives. In Jesus' name, thank you for helping us. Thanks for watching Life Today.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Tomorrow, her son committed murder. His son was paralyzed in a car accident. Together, they give new insights on escaping the prison of our circumstances. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.